Okay, let's all stand for a moment if you would. That was beautiful. Let's just take a moment and it's good to see Karen Hutchins here all the way back. Dave Parker, what a blessing. Let's just, we have a lot of scripture to read today, so I'm not going to make you stand through it all. But what I want you to do now is just take a moment and quietly worship God in your hearts. I think we have much to be thankful for. Father, we didn't get to take the time to celebrate many of the lives that were on that screen. We didn't have the opportunity. But that doesn't change the reality of their presence with you or the fact that you've knit them to our heart, that they were a part of our story here in Tacoma, that you allowed them to have a place in our lives and in our heart. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless their families in their absence. We know that that they haven't stopped crying out before your throne for those loved ones that don't know you yet. And we ask, Lord, that you would just bless us today as we celebrate the truths behind their testimony. And we ask you to do this. We pray that you will. In Christ's name, amen. Now we're going to read all these. You can be seated. Thank you. We're going to read these. The scripture, the message, won't be as long as probably in many ways the reading will be. But I didn't feel like we could do this and not do it and cover all the bases. So we're in Hebrews chapter 11. We're talking about the people of the last chapter, or those of whom the world is not worthy. It says, now faith is the assurance, which is based upon the revelation of God and His Word, of things being hoped for, the conviction of things for which we have not received sight. For by it the mature men of old were spoken of. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of those things which are invisible or visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him, for he obtained the witness before his being taken up that he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared the ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, also, there was born of one man him as good as dead, and as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died according to faith, without receiving the promises, having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a fatherland. And indeed, they would have had opportunity to return if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." Because he considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were afraid and not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter when he had grown up, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, and after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail if I tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mocking and scourging, yet also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground, people of whom the world was not worthy. All these did not receive what was promised, though having been spoken of because of their faith. Because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, let us also run with endurance the contest or the struggle or fight that is set before us, the course that's been marked out. By means of laying aside every hindering obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us, because we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who endured the cross for the joy set before him, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary with the result that you give up or are slack to the hurt of your souls. Father, bless our time. We're so thankful, Lord, that we had the opportunity just to remember all those lives and even others, Lord. We just ask that you would bless our time here today. As we speak of these things, we pray that you'll be in the midst of everything that's said and done. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so today's sermon actually comes from the text. It's the people of the last chapter, which, by the way, would include those people that we have shown on the slide order today. It would include loved ones that you know that have passed. My father was being one of those, just lost an aunt. Beautiful believers. They're part of this great rank of heaven. They're the people of the last chapter, and we'll look at that as we go through this today. I think you'll find it, hopefully, to be encouraging for you. You'll also notice that the world, as it says in our text, is not worthy of them. And I want to just take a moment as we look into that and think about this first aspect in your slide order. This isn't working, Rick, so let me see if I can get it to work now. Okay, you go ahead and hit the next slide. You'll notice that there's a blank here, and I'm going to let you fill it in if you want to, but as human beings, we're very inclined to try and choose our heroes. We want to pick the people that have had the greatest success or overcome the greatest odds and obstacles, that have seen the greatest victories. By the way, always fixate on the victories. We kind of leave out all the other aspects of life that weren't so pleasant. We tend to be that kind of people. We look for those people that we can kind of aspire to. I just want you to understand that God decides who heroes are in the faith. You don't, and I don't. I mean, we can watch people. If you were to tear apart any of the saints' lives, I don't care who they are, and if you read your Bible, you should be honest about this. We realize that these are flawed people, that God still used them. And if you know, everybody always talks about David. What, do you want to have hundreds of wives against and disobey God? Do you want to kill somebody, be complicit in murder? Do you want to, commit adultery multiple times? Do you really want to do that? You want to be David? See, the truth is, there's much more to their life than what we're willing to accept oftentimes. And you can't really make excuses for this. It's very clear. They disobeyed God. And God still used them. So we tend to kind of fixate and pick and choose, and we pick out the highlights, and everybody wants the great sports hero or something, but we tend to overlook all those little elements of their life that's really not so exciting, not too pleasing. That's just human nature. We do that. We do it a lot even in this day and age. But I want you to just take a moment and think about the fact that God actually chooses people in a different way. God's just looking for faith. He cares about people who have faith in Him. That may not be displayed among the multitudes the way that everybody would want it to be. You may not see the big victories. You may not get all the miracles. You may not have all the amazing things happen. But God is only concerned about faith. That's why I think what's really kind of compelling about this text is we have all the big names, and then you have the no names. Now, I don't know about you, but I think the no names, they're in the Bible, apparently are just as important as the ones that were named. The people that never had their name mentioned, they just obeyed God. They just did what was right. They just lived out their life. They're the mother that raises her children quietly and honestly and loves her family, or the father that works hard and diligently loves the Lord and continues to support their family and does everything they can to honor Christ in front of their children. It's the person that goes to work and gives their honest 8 hours for 8 hours of pay and doesn't backbite, doesn't lie, doesn't cheat, doesn't steal from their employer. It's that person that just simply lives their life in the simplicity of faith, because they love the Lord, and everything they do is unto Him. God sees all that. God sees all that. Now, we're driven by this hero worship type mindset, and even in Christianity, it can get there quickly, where we want somebody that stands out above the crowd and, you know, is the type of person that we can set above others. That's not the way God sees it. If you're here today and you love the Lord and you're faithfully serving in whatever capacity God has given you, doing the things that He's called you to do and available for Him to, you know, challenge you to do other things, you're a hero in God's economy. You may not see yourself in that light. Actually, that's probably a good thing. Because if you did, it probably wouldn't be reality. But the people that just simply are quietly serving Christ, just quietly, humbly serving Christ, and all the people that you saw on that slide were just people. And we could probably, for some of them, pick out more flaws than assets. But that's not how God sees it. Because God sees their faith. And we don't have the privilege of looking into their heart. He does. God searches the heart. He knows us. He knows what our intentions truly are. He understands these things. It's His Word and His Spirit in Hebrews 4:12 that does this. He knows why we do what we do. He tries us in the midst of this in Revelations 2:23. He understands the depths of us. He sees us. He examines us. So we don't get to decide in all that list who's the hero and who's not. Because in all honesty, I can tell you this, having some relationship to the majority of them, if not all, that they're all heroes. Because they quietly live their life in faith. And they had their ups and downs. We all do. But there were things, just like it says in this text, to be spoken of. There were things that you could say about them that had a right relationship with their Lord and Savior that affected other people. That, and by the way, this is something we should all really have a great deal of concern with. This issue of being spoken of being a person that when it's all said and done, others can speak of your faith, not just your achievements. What was your faith like? What was the testimony of our life? Because that's what the word means. It's the same word for witness. They were spoken of. There was a testimony. There was something that stood out about the way that they lived and their relationship to the God that had called them. That's what we all want, I hope. I hope when it's all said and done, it's not how much money we set aside for somebody else or any of these things, or how much, you know, acclaim we got here on this earth, or how many people, you know, liked or gave us likes on Facebook or whatever the new social media platform is that everybody's trying to achieve some recognition through. But actually that a person saw their life and could speak well of them, that this person and their faith touched me. We should all have that goal. We should all have that goal. It should be like that for all of us. So first and foremost, we don't get to decide it. God does. Thank God that that's the way it is. Because it would be a very sad thing. We would be just like, you know, any sports team or anybody else that's just trying to be the best, be the top, be the greatest. That's not Christianity. Christianity finds itself below all of these things, lacking all of the recognition, just seeking simply to make a name by serving others. And if that's not our goal, then to be quite honest, none of these folks here, we're not in any way related to any of them in our actions. Because that's what it's all about. It truly is. David served his generation. Jesus went about doing good. That's what we do. We do this. So first and foremost, we don't get to decide. Now let's just kind of go through the text real quick here. First thing that's really important, and there's various subpoints to this, and I'll walk you through it because the text has these conclusions that it comes to that I think are important to all of us. And it speaks to the lives of the folks that we're celebrating today. But the first thing is that there's a simple act of, you have to believe that there is a God who supersedes everything. You have to believe that. Now, you can't be saved by worshiping creation, because creation was created by somebody. That's the whole point of verse 1. Creation came to be because someone greater than said it should be. It was spoken into existence. That's what we have to believe, that there's something greater than this world. That's the first and most important thing. You can't be saved if you worship a tree or a rock or an idol or anything created with the hands of man or anything that of the substance of this earth. You can't be saved. Your salvation has to come from beyond this. This is why Jesus Christ, being the very expression of the Word, which was the creator of this whole, the whole thing. He was the whole thing. You can't be saved apart from that. He's the firstborn, and he was before all things. He is the one that spoke it all into existence. I'm sorry, it just doesn't work. So first and foremost, if we're looking at this, it's this sense that creation, there has to be something greater than what we have around us, this material world that means so much. And all these people had to listen to somebody greater than what the world was pointing out to them. Had Abraham not listened and heard God speak to him, who was greater than creation, then he wouldn't have left the Ur of the Chaldees. Had he not looked out in Genesis 15 and seen the stars and had God say to him, hey, I put all that together, and you don't see anything out of order, do you? Now, I'm promising you that I'm going to give you a seed, and that's going to be as you're going to be the father of all the families of the earth. You're going to be the father of a multitude. Had he not believed in the voice of the one who was greater than creation, then it would have not been righteousness for him. It would not have been what we have today. We have to first believe that. Secondly, there's an aspect, and you'll notice this in verse 6. We have to believe that if we pursue this God, that he's a rewarder of those people that believe in him. He wants to be believed in. Please understand this. God is not hidden. He doesn't hide behind clouds or in a place far removed from us. God is not a hidden God. Our God reveals himself to us. That's the point of Jesus Christ coming to this earth. It says it in the very first verse that he's actually the substance. Faith is the substance. It'll say it again in verse 3 of chapter 1 in Hebrews, that he was the exact representation. The word there's the same word. It means that he was the expression of everything that was that God was. He's what behind him, all the foundational elements. The word is used in the Greek for having a title to a piece of property. It's just a piece of paper. It means nothing unless there's something behind the paper. No more than your title to your car means anything unless the government itself honors the fact that that is your possession. Jesus Christ was the representation of all that God was. He was the very title deed of it all. He showed us exactly who God was. And for us, we have to believe that if God went to such great lengths for us to know him, that he certainly wants us to draw near to him and know him. He wants us to be personal with him. He wants us to desire. All the list of people that we have discussed here today, or any that we've seen, were people that spent their life, it began with the decision to believe in something greater than themselves, and greater than anything this earth could offer. And it continued with the decision to want to know the person that revealed himself to them. They just wanted to know him. They made their decisions based on knowing him. They didn't allow the world to be the dictator of that, or other people's opinion to be the means by which they were influenced. They wanted to know him. Just like Paul said in Philippians 3, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship, if it means fellowship with his sufferings, that I could know that nothing on this earth that's taken from me would ever equal what I've gained in him, if I could just know him. Secondly, it says in verse 13 and 14 that they placed more value in a city that they hadn't seen than anything that this world offered them. They would rather live in a tent in a land that they knew nothing of, because they had fellowship with a God that they could not see, than they would live in the substance of this world. They were strangers and pilgrims. They didn't allow the world and all of its possessions to mean anything. None of the pictures of the people that you've seen there took anything with them but their soul. That's all that they had to bring with them, was the soul that they had built up and come to know, the substance they had in Jesus Christ through his word and by the Spirit. That's all they had. These people lived their lives in the reality of that. We read about them, we oftentimes think, well, you know, that's just that day and age. That was that primitive time. No, that is the principle of our life. That this world is a transitory thing. That we don't live by the seen, but the unseen. That we seek a city that you can't find on this earth. That you're not going to find that here. No matter how hard mankind tries, it's not going to be found. We seek one whose builder and maker is God. It has to be that we put these things first. And I would dare say that what we speak of those who have gone before us, those people that are in heaven, I'll never forget the day that John Souza, you none of you know him, he was one of our first converts. We used to do a radio program, and he was a New York Italian, the big boss, you know, and just a crazy guy. Just fought in World War II, hit the beach, second wave at Normandy, all the way into Germany. He was part of the liberating at many of one of, you know, the concentration camps. He was a hard guy, and he loved the Lord. And I'll never forget the day that I was there in the hospital at Madigan as he was going in for his final operation. They were going to do a bypass, and he left the room singing, "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, Swing Low." It's almost as if he knew he was going to be with the Lord. It was just a moment. You just knew that he knew that was a day that he was going to go and meet his maker, who he used to call the big boss. And he's, you know, these things, he understood that nothing on this earth meant anything more than what he had gained in Christ by having it. And that's exactly what life is all about. In verse 26, it says that these are people, and you'll notice, they esteem the approaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of heaven. He was looking for the reward. Speaking of Moses, leaving Egypt, leaving his, you know, literally Pharaoh's son, leaving all that. Because nothing on this earth, and we'll all be tempted with this, that there'll be something that seems to be so tantalizing, so exciting. If you could just get this, this would do it for your life. That will never equal what we gain in Christ. It will never be that. Lastly, in this portion, I want you to think about the fact that faith in the resurrection. These are people that live by faith in the resurrection. Now, I want you to just take a moment. Oftentimes, we think of the cross as the sign of God. It really isn't. The cross is the sign of God's love. It's the sign that God loved us enough to give himself for us. The true sign, the testimony of our, if you will, that we look to, is the resurrection. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 17 through 19 that if there is no resurrection, then we are all men. We're just pity, you know, to be pitied. That it's just a foolish thing that we believe in. If Jesus Christ wasn't raised from the dead, then it means nothing. But the resurrection is truly the sign for us. And you'll notice that these people, in verse 19, it says literally that they were looking to, considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead. That Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, knowing that, hey, if that happens, God could do it. That the God who created things, the unseen God that's greater than anything that we see around us, greater than any of the tangibles of this world, the one who is beyond all that, the creator who spoke it by his very word, that God has the power to raise from the dead, that God can resurrect. I guess we could say it from this viewpoint, that God has the power to redeem our situations, does he not? If he doesn't, if there is no resurrection, if all we have is the muck and the dirt of our own bad decisions, then where are we as a people? If Jesus Christ isn't the resurrection and the new life in John 11:25, where are we as a people? We have nothing. We have no hope. We never get out. We never really can get clean. We never really can be free. But if God is who he says he is, and all these people died believing that there was something greater that they were going to, that there was something far beyond what this earth was offering, that there was a resurrection, that God was powerful enough and proved himself to do so. And I want you to think in verse 35, there's a kind of B part to this. And you'll notice this kind of conclusion here in verse 35. It says that women received back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, not accepting their release. And notice what it says. In order that they might obtain a better resurrection. I want you just to realize this. All the people that we just showed on that slide were people that lived their life expecting God to create something in their life that they personally did not possess. That they weren't what the world said they were. They weren't what their genealogy said they were. That they didn't have to be what their environment said they were. That it didn't matter what their culture was that they were raised in. That God wanted to create something uniquely different in them. This is why Paul could say in Romans 7:24, thinking about everything in his life, he said, I'm a wretched man. And who's going to deliver me? And his very next word, I thank God through Christ Jesus. Because only Christ can take all of the decay of our life and create something new. He has the power to speak from outside of creation and make something new. Only he can do this. This is the beauty of our relationship with our God. This is why we celebrate those lives, because God promised them eternal life, and he took a life, no matter how we view it, no matter the ups and downs, he took a moment of faith and he made something brand new out of it, a new creation. This is our God. This is what he does. This is what we want to pass on to our children and our grandchildren. This is what we want our neighbors and our coworkers to know. This is what we want to tell the community about, that our God takes those things that seemingly are not, and he says, yes, oh, I can do this. I speak outside of creation. I make it to be. And in Romans 4:16, I call those things that be not, and I say they are, because I can do this. I'm the God who can. All the people that died believed in a moment, and in that moment, eternity changed for them, literally. Something happened eternally in their soul that would never be altered. God committed himself to them in a moment of faith, something that any person can do, and everyone does. Just a matter of where we choose to put it. And in that moment, that changed their life eternally. And absent from the body in 2 Corinthians 5:8, the moment that happened, present with the Lord. I want you to just think for a moment about this, these statements. We've talked about this, the people of whom the world was not worthy. Look, if you think about the world, and everybody lives based on the substance of this world, that's how they live. Everyone who does not know Christ. Now, you could say, well, it's a cause, but where's the cause rooted? All the causes that have gone on in the last 2 years, where were those causes rooted? In the world. What's the great cause that's affecting our world today? Environmentalism, right? Like saving the planet. It's a cause. Where's it rooted? I'm not saying it's not a good cause. I'm not here to debate that. I'm just telling you, where is it rooted? In the world. Every cause is rooted in the world. Person gives their life to a cause, it's almost like a religion. It's the very same thing. They place their faith in that. That's what they do. People live their lives for their family. That's their cause. And they don't know Christ, and that's their cause. They want everything to work out for their kids, and they want to do the best they can to provide, and that's their cause. And it has nothing to do with Christ. The majority of unsaved people live like that. That's their cause. That's what they do. That's where they put their faith. But it's rooted in this world. Many people live based on their friendships, and their friendships are the thing that gives them stability in life, and this is how I'm going to live. That's where you put your faith, that's where your cause is, and that's. But it's in this world. Those things are transient. The Bible's very clear, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 15 and on, that those things are transient, that we have to believe in something beyond that. But for a believer, they put their faith in a God who created the world. He's greater than the creation. He supersedes the creation. By the way, in Romans 1:28, actually 1:20 and on through 32, if you want to see the decay of man, just see that what the moment man puts faith in creation above the creator, it all goes to blank in a basket. Because it does. That's what happens. The moment we separate ourselves from the Creator, this is what happens. But these people, it says, the world wasn't worthy of them. The world didn't deserve them. Think about that. The world doesn't deserve you or me. The world doesn't deserve people that live by faith in their Creator. But Christ came to this earth to give it what it didn't deserve. Amen? Amen? The world didn't deserve it. We all deserved hell. We deserved our judgment. We earned it. We worked hard for it. We did lots of things to get it. But Christ came to deliver us from such a judgment. Because He came and the world didn't deserve His life, but He gave it. And the world doesn't deserve you, but give it. I'm asking you to give it. Give it to Christ. Stop playing games. Give it. If you could hear these people in heaven, and there's a host of others, they would be saying, give it. Stop playing games. Give it. The world doesn't deserve us. It doesn't appreciate us. It doesn't relate to us. It doesn't. If we're looking for its acceptance, we're looking for the wrong thing. The world will never be what we want it to be. But Christ says, come to me. If you're weak and heavy laden, come on. If you're burdened, come to me. I'll give you rest. I want you. I want to know you. The world's not worthy of us. We should just understand that. You're in a workplace and you thank God for the friends and the people that you get along with. You'll get along with them today. Tomorrow, they may not be so kind. If they serve the things of this earth, those things can change in an instant. We all know this. If we're honest, we know this. But when you have a person in Christ and they understand that their values are created by a God who's above creation. And this is where our life source is. That He is the fullness that fills all in all. that I find my completion in Him, that my heart and my affections are there, then all of a sudden we realize that this life that I'm living is an opportunity for me to express the same service that He did. I'm here to be spoken of. I want to be spoken of, not that people would praise me, but speak of the fact that this person, their life, their ministry, the very essence of their life, the reason of their life is so far different than mine. It's just, what is it with that person? All of these people, you'll notice it closes out in verse 39. It says, not receive the promise, though having been spoken of. They were spoken of. There was something different about them. Their motivation was different. Their inclinations were different. Their viewpoint was different. The way that they related to people was different. They saw life differently. And they were spoken of. This is the kind of being spoken of we want. This is the hero that we want to be. This is how God wants us to be. You notice from that viewpoint then, it says that we are the people of the last chapter. This is it. We're summing all things up. I don't know how long it's going to be before the Lord returns. I don't think it's going to be that long, the way the world is moving so quickly towards a globalism, pressures. I personally don't believe it to be that long, but that's just my opinion. But either way, when the Word of God says here, and I think very clearly, that we are the last chapter, we're the last people. If nothing else, you're the last person that perhaps someone in your family will really see and understand that this was Christ. This is the reason why this person was who they were. You may be that last person. You can't be sure that when they go out into the world, they're ever going to see it again. You can't just think that if they heard it on the radio, it's going to make the difference. I believe, quite frankly, that people don't change unless they see something. Now, sometimes they've heard something, and then they see something, and it confirms what they've heard. But I think they have to see it. I think that's why when we talk about the word presence in the Old Testament, the word is pani, which means God's face. You have to see Him. There's a sense where our faith has to see His face. We have to be in His presence there. And by faith, we have to grasp that. That we have to be able to see things in order for us to understand the reality and the truths behind them. That's a big part of our humanity. You couldn't take a child, put them in a corner, give them a bunch of cassettes, say, learn all these things, they hear it all, and they would be well, adapted to the things that they've heard. No, they'd have no experience to go with. They hadn't seen anything to go with it. We have to have this. And for you and I, we are the people of the last chapter. Whether it be the last chapter in someone that's in your sphere of influence's life, you're the person that's in there. You're the last chapter for them. We're the ones that sum it all up. We fill it all up. And if there's other generations, thank God for that. But I don't tend to think like that. Because I want to live my life as if He's coming back now. That it could be any moment. I want to love His appearing because we're the people of the last chapter. They, without us, couldn't have been complete. The world needed to see people that had believed in a resurrected Christ. From the first day of the church till the time that Jesus returns, we are the people of the last chapter. The world needs to see people that have a message in their, not just in their mouth, but in their heart. They believe it. They embrace it. They understand it. We're the people of the last chapter. Look, all of those people on that overhead affected someone, some some way. If anybody saw Edie's picture up there, Edie was like a second mom to me. Actually, I've got about three of them that I've adopted over the years, but she was one of them. And she was a mom to many people in this church. She was a person of the last chapter. If you see any of those pictures, these were people of the last chapter that affected someone, their family, someone. I think of Volker. Volker died really a needless death. It was a kind of a fluke. He shouldn't have died the way he did. They forgot to take his line out, and it got infected. And it caused a blood infection that killed him. That just shouldn't have happened. It just didn't work out because of the COVID thing. They didn't do it. Should have been 3 days. It was like 3 weeks, something like that. It was a tragedy. This guy was an F-16 pilot from Germany, loved the Lord, met with me, wept over Christ, just this beautiful broken man. You'd never know it. He was a person of the last chapter. He affected my life. I want to be a person of the last chapter. I hope you do too. I really do. I hope you do. That can be more than just I did something, but I was spoken of. Our faith was spoken of. That's what we want to pass on. I think that's what all those folks passed on. Amen? Let's pray. If you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, that's just a crucial element. Because God loves us so much, as we said, He will let us believe whatever we want to believe. He's not going to coerce or twist your arm. He's not going to force you to believe anything. But He wants you to believe in Him. And He sent His Son to this earth for the sole purpose. And then after that, He sent His Spirit to this earth to convict us of our need for Him. And if you're here today and you've never received Christ, perhaps you believe in your own goodness, you've believed in other belief systems, you're really tied up in a cause, whatever. Those are all material things tied to this earth. But what about something that has greater value than anything this world can offer you? Something that comes from the one who created all things. That's why Jesus stepped into time, out of eternity, into time. So He could offer us something that has greater value than what this three-dimensional world could offer us. And if you're here today and you've never received Him, it's a moment of faith. It's asking the Lord to save you by faith. The moment you do that, God commits to you eternal life. He honors anyone who believes in His Son. Anyone who believes that they can't save themselves apart from what Christ provides for them. Anyone. At any time. And if you've never done it, ask Him, say, Lord Jesus, save me. Very simple prayer. And if you're saying that prayer, I want you to just take a moment, think about it, and then put your hand up and let me pray with you with every head bowed, every eye closed. Just, if you would, put your hand up. Let me pray with you. Lord Jesus, we thank You for each and every one. And Lord, we pray that You'll just make us a people. Let us be a people that this world is not worthy of. Let us be a people of the last chapter. Let us rejoice in that great cloud of witnesses, Lord, and let that be the means by which we motivate ourselves to pursue You, as it says there in the last few verses of our text, that we'll pursue You because we're surrounded by this. It's the very reason. And we thank You, Lord, for all that You've done. And we thank You, Lord, that You're faithful and true. We thank You that each one of those saints are rejoicing in Your presence today. Actually, they're just waiting for us to get there. they're having a party right now, waiting for us to get there. So we ask you to bless and encourage each and every one in Jesus' name. And the whole church said,
amen.
Hey, thanks for coming. God bless you all.